Great to have you along today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here, going to spend the next hour looking at assisted living in Wisconsin. Our elderly population is increasing, and it means a higher demand for senior care services like nursing homes and assisted living. But how do we access these facilities? How do we pick the right one? And here to help us with that task is Jennifer Fisher. Jennifer's manager of the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Dane County. She works to connect Wisconsin residents with long-term care options. And as we talk to Jennifer, I hope you'll join in. What do you want to know about assisted living options in our state? What do they cost? Who staffs these facilities? Give a call. The number 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Jennifer Fisher, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us. They really appreciate it.
Hi, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Let's talk about to begin with, what's the difference between assisted living facilities and nursing homes? I'm thinking about the kind of care and so forth.
Yep. So yes, that is a big difference. So an assisted living facility is licensed by the state of Wisconsin, and so is a nursing home. But in an assisted living, there is a restriction on the number of hours of nursing care a resident can receive. So in an assisted living, a person cannot receive more than 3 hours of nursing care a week, whereas in a nursing home, you know, the idea is potentially they could get 24-hour nursing care. So the availability of a registered nurse is very different.
Yeah, so there's somebody there all the time. And adult daycare centers, what services do they provide?
So an adult day center is something that provides more like activities, and they also provide meals. They can also help with personal cares. Say a person refuses to shower for you at home, they can often offer a shower. They can help toilet and dress, but that's for a really limited amount of time during the day. And it's also typically operates Monday through Friday, so maybe a place a person goes, but not every day. They don't live in an adult day center.
Yeah, and can people, I assume, can combine the use of an adult daycare center with assisted living, or can they not?
They could, but you might be double paying for some of the same services. So, you know, if you're in an assisted living, typically that facility will provide you with 3 meals a day. They will provide you with staff that can help with your personal cares, help transfer you. They can help, and they also do activities. So they will most often have an activity person who will do different building activities. Most of them will have those posted for people so they can pick and choose what they want to attend. Some assisted livings have their own transportation, so they may load people on a bus and take them someplace for an outing. You know, there are lots of different services that an assisted living can offer to people. And you know, assisted livings can also change over time. So right now, there's a lot of large communities that have been built that transition people through different levels of care. So people may start at an independent apartment, then move to maybe an apartment with some services, and then as their needs change, maybe move to a more assisted living because they need more services than an in-home coming into your own apartment could provide.
So what does, let's take adult daycare just to start with, what would that typically cost?
So the range would really depend on the adult day center, you know, anywhere from depending on what they're doing for your person and how many hours you're there, maybe $100 to $150 a day. Some maybe a little cheaper depending. And so you will pay, you know, by the day or by the week. Some have a certain number of days you must come. So you might have to come at least 2 days a week or at least 3 days a week. Each of them are a little different, but you can often pick and choose. You don't have to come every day. And then some people choose to come every day.
Yeah. How many assisted living facilities are there in Wisconsin? Do we have any idea?
I'm sure the state of Wisconsin knows, but there are a lot. There are a lot. Yes, there are a lot. I don't have an exact number. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, no, that's fine. There are a lot, and I you know, you occasionally read about problems with staffing of those facilities. That may be the bigger issue than the facility having a facility there around, but maybe there's not enough staff.
Yep. And that is really one question you should be asking when you go to a tour in assisted living. You should be asking what their staffing ratio is. And oftentimes the ratio is different during the day than at night. So you should also be asking when you're touring in assisted living, you know, what is your staffing ratio during the day? What is your staffing ratio at night? Do you have a registered nurse on staff? If yes, how many hours do they provide support or that someone can consult with them on an issue? Because they vary across assisted livings. And so when you're making choices and comparing one facility to another, those are some of the questions you should be asking when you take a tour.
Is there some minimum that, say, an assisted living facility is required in terms of personnel, ratio of personnel to residents or people who are there?
There is not. That's why it varies. There hasn't been clear legislation that says you have to have X amount of staff per resident. You have to have enough staff to provide care. And sometimes then there may be a situation where a report is made to the Bureau of Assisted Living, who investigates reports on assisted living to say that there's not enough staffing to take care of people, or because of the staffing level, maybe some things have been missed, or medication has been missed, or responding to someone that needs help to get to the bathroom so that they don't soil themselves has been an issue. So the state of Wisconsin does post those violations. And so that's another thing people should look at when they're looking at facilities is, have they had violations and what have they been? How often have they had violations?
Yeah, can they be for-profit or non-profit? We have both?
Yep, they can be all the above.
And are there advantages to one over the other?
I don't necessarily know if there's advantages to one over the other. You know, what you're really looking for is a facility that meets your needs and your care level. And a facility can change over time as you're there. You know, a strong manager of a facility can really make things run great. And maybe a newer manager who hasn't had as much experience or who has a lot of staffing issues can maybe struggle with things. So, you know, really touring a facility and getting the feel of it, you know, do the staff know the residents by name? Do they respond to them? Do the staff respond to them? Are there things going on? Do they have control over what time your meals are or what you eat? Or does everyone have to eat the same thing? You know, there are lots of choices in assisted living. So you really want to find the assisted living that meets your needs.
I was thinking about what you were talking about there, because I know of a person who had a relative in a very good assisted living facility, at least that's what they thought, with a really good staff. And then the place was purchased by another outfit. And then they brought in like a whole new staff. And my person did not like the new staff. The whole personality of the place changed, apparently.
Yep. And that can happen. That can really happen and change things. And then sometimes people can choose to move or need to have meetings to address issues that are happening. Everyone who lives in an assisted living has a care plan that talks about what services are given or offered to the person, and really spelling out what you need. You know, I may be a person who's used to showering in the morning, so I want a morning shower. I don't want someone who's going to say, you have to take a shower at 2 o'clock when we have time. You know, that's not going to fit my day. So really discussing those things also and writing those things out, like, this is my care plan, this is what's important to me, this is what I want.
Mark in Wisconsin Dells has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Larry. My question is, a comment first. I have had two friends who put their spouses in assisted living or memory care, and those about $10,000 a month, and then those people each died after 2 to 4 months. But I have an aunt that's been in one for several years, and my question is, how does a family avoid being liable for a huge bill like that that would bankrupt an average person when the person in the home has run out of money?
Yeah.
Yep. That's a great question. So in Wisconsin, there is a program called Family Care, and that is across all of Wisconsin. And there's some different varieties that fall under Family Care. There's the traditional Family Care. There's partnership and a self-directed program called IRIS. And that program helps to pay for long-term care for people in the community. So if you're in an assisted living and running out of money, people should contact their local aging and disability resource center. And there's ADRCs in every county in Wisconsin, and talk to them about their options. Because when someone spends down their private pay funds, and it's different if you're single or if you're married, because in Wisconsin, there are rules that allow spouses to keep a certain amount of assets. So it's called spousal impoverishment. Wisconsin wants to ensure that the spouse who's still living in the community doesn't impoverish themselves, so they're able to keep some assets. And the program will then help you fund your assisted living if that's the level of care that's determined that you need. But not every assisted living will accept that long-term care funding. So when people are looking at assisted living, they should also be asking those types of questions on if you accept long-term care. And if they do, another follow-up question that's also helpful is, how many beds do you accept it for? Because a facility may say they accept long-term care funding, but it may only be for a limited amount of beds. And so you also need to know that. Sometimes assisted livings will take long-term care funding, but will say, but you need to live here and pay privately for a period of time. Sometimes it's 1 year, sometimes 2 years, before you could go on a long-term care program.
Yeah, or sometimes it's 3 years.
Yep, it is. It's true.
Mark, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Medicaid would come into play here, would it not?
Yeah. So part of that long-term care program, a person needs to pass a functional screen that the ADRCs complete, and then they have to be eligible for Medicaid. So the ADRC would talk to you about Medicaid eligibility, what it is, how it works, how you apply, and then you apply through your local income maintenance consortium for that long-term care program, and we help you through that process. So an ADRC can help you know what types of information they'll be asking you for and help you walk through that process.
And you need, my guess is you need to be thinking about it. You can't wait till all the money runs out and then ask. You need to start, several months at least, I would assume, ahead of time.
Yes. I like to say that your local Aging and Disability Resource Center is a place that you should call often because we are a great place for information. So when you're thinking about a move to assisted living, you know, ADRCs will talk to you about that and what things that you should consider when making a move. We often talk to people about money and how much things cost. So say I'm living in my own home or apartment and I'm considering a move for assisted living, we can talk to you about what kinds of services you're identifying that you need right now. Or are you looking to get more socialization? Or have you stopped driving? And how much, if you would just buy those services in the community, would that cost you versus how much your assisted living would cost you? So, and really compare costs to see what it would cost you and how those things compare.
Our guest today, Jennifer Fisher, is manager of the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Dane County. She's been since it opened in 2012. She knows a whole lot, as you can are learning as you listen to her speak today. And if you have a question or comment or experience, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234, or you could email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Great to have you along today on WPR News. We're taking a look at our assisted living options here in Wisconsin. Are you thinking about it, or do you have a loved one? I've had to go through that process a couple of years ago with my brother Mitch, and so I'm fairly well acquainted with what goes on in the process. But I tell you what, Jennifer Fisher knows a whole lot more than I know about it. So, and she is ready to answer your questions or respond to comments that you might have about assisted living. The number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email the email address talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Remember, I think you mentioned that memory care facilities are often associated with assisted living facilities.
Yes, there can be different levels of care. And one of those levels of care, like at a continuum, is a memory care facility. But it's important to note that people can call themselves a memory care facility, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they have received more training or education. So when you're doing those tours of a facility and comparing, you should ask about the staff training. So if they're calling themselves a memory care facility, what extra training have staff received to work there? Have they had training on dementia and how to work with people who have Alzheimer's? Because that really is a specialized care need, and staff need extra training. And just because a facility is billed as a memory care facility doesn't necessarily mean that they've had that. So when you go to tour facilities, that's one of the questions you should be asking is what kind of specialized training do staff receive? And, you know, what is, you know, once again, the staffing ratio, because, you know, people who are in memory care often need more assistance because they have memory issues. And so what is that staffing ratio so that there are people on staff to help? You know, does your loved one need help with eating at mealtime? Do they need queuing to make sure that they eat? And does that facility have the staffing to be able to meet that need?
And I'm thinking about medications as well. If somebody with a memory issue, you need to have... No, go ahead.
Yeah, so oftentimes at a facility, yes, they will be administering the medications. So that's another question that you can ask about when you tour is, do they have a preferred pharmacy or can you use any pharmacy that you want? Maybe I get my medications through the VA. Do I have to have them repackaged to come to the facility? Do they have to be packaged in a certain way? So those are all great questions to ask.
Cheryl in Iron Ridge has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And it's ironic you would be talking about this today because I've been through it with a number of friends and people. And I like what the lady said about checking to see what the prices would be to stay in your home with extra services. That's number one that I think is wonderful and people should do. And number two is, golly gee whiz, you know, if they just change the zoning, we could put up tiny homes on 10 acres somewhere and everybody would be happy.
Cheryl, thanks for calling. Jennifer, comment?
Yeah, no, I think that that's important because people should make their choice of what they want with information. So, you know, that's why it is important to compare costs and what you need to do to stay in your home if that's where you want to stay living, or maybe move. Because there are lots of things to think about when you're thinking about a move. And, you know, the cost to move, the cost to downsize. Maybe the move is moving from a two-story home to a one-story or a home to an apartment. You know, there's lots of things to consider and people should make choices that, you know, that they have education about so that they've researched and looked and compared. You know, that's why it's important. I'm going to say it again, to call ADRCs because we want to empower people with information and knowledge so that they can make decisions that meet their lifestyle.
Yeah, and there are so many possible ways that living at home may not work. You know, if there's really only Social Security income coming in, and you know, if you've got a house you're living in, maybe you got to sell the house.
Yeah, that's a possibility. Yes, it is. You know, I hate to say it, but our prices for everything is going up. Your groceries, your electric, prices are changing. And so, ADRCs are equipped to talk to people about money issues and how things cost, how much they're costing. We also, when people call us, do like a benefit snapshot to see if there are programs that people could take advantage of. You know, if someone's living in their own home, maybe they can take advantage of a program here to save money, to apply money somewhere else, to help meet their daily needs.
Steve in Beloit, we'll go to you now. Hi, Steve.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. What's on your mind?
My wife and I have a house with a mother-in-law suite, and we specifically bought it for when my dad can't quite take care of himself anymore. He can come and live with us and still have his space. My question for your guest is, it would kind of be quasi-assisted living, but my wife is also an RN to provide medical support. Is there something available for us or my wife as a caretaker for my dad for what we do?
Hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So there's programs out there. Older American Act funds programs called the National Family Caregiver Support Program, so that families can apply for through their local aging unit. Oftentimes, aging units are located in an ADRC, or they may be a freestanding unit per county. And they have funding like the National Family Caregiver Support Program that can help support caregivers who are providing care. Also, if someone has Alzheimer's, there's the Alzheimer's Family Caregiver Support Program that can help provide support. There's also support through the Respite Care Center of Wisconsin. There's lots of different programs, and your local Aging and Disability Resource Center can tell you about programs in your area and how people qualify for them, because there are limited amounts of funding. So there may be a wait for a program, but you can talk to them. Also, the family care program that can pay for an assisted living can also pay for services and supports in a person's home, or if someone is living with someone else, to help support that person and help them to remain living in the community. And it can pay caregivers.
Yeah, so lots of options there, Steve. And by the way, I'm glad you're mentioning the Aging and Disability Resource Center very often. People come and go as they're listening to the show, and they may not remember, but that ADRC, American Aging and Disability Resource Center, should be sticking in everybody's mind here by the time the show's over, and that's good information to have in your noggin.
Yes, yes. Because, you know, we're the, we want to be the first place that you call for information. And we provide unbiased information on a wide range of topics, like assisted living or staying in your home. And we are here just to provide information so that people can make choices that meet their lifestyle and what they're looking for.
Steve, thanks again for calling. Dwayne in Westfield, we'll go to you. Dwayne, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you. Longtime listener. Love your show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. As a matter of fact, I've lived it firsthand when my mom had cancer. Now, she had dual citizenship. Now, in England, they do things a bit different than they do here, which I don't understand why we don't try to adopt what they do over there. Because if you have if you try to keep home with hospice care or anything else, the U.S. usually takes more than half or all of their funds. And if they try to have home care, their funds only last as long, I mean, they only do their health care at home as long as the money runs, I mean, is still in their accounts. Once it's not, they go into a different, they're pretty much on their own. They pretty much have nothing. But in England, everything is 100% up until the time that just to try to make them comfortable, they can stay home, they have their own hospice care, and the government doesn't touch a dime of their finances, so they can, if they need other medical things, they can take care of it for themselves. If not, then at least they're a little bit more comfortable of trying to be at home. I'm just curious, why can't we adopt a program? I mean, the stuff like that over in England, that's a little bit more sensible.
Well, Jennifer, that may be a hard question for you to answer. I don't know. What do you think?
I think that is a hard one for me to answer. I can talk about what the programs look like now. The funding for the long-term care programs has come out of the Medicaid budget. So that's and Medicaid eligibility, because the money comes out of Medicaid is one of those requirements. And I think, looking at changing those programs would need some work to be done.
At the political level, yeah.
Yes.
Tim emailed, he would prefer we reference assisted living facilities as assisted living communities. He thinks facilities make them sound prison-like. Well, go ahead, Jennifer.
Yes. And some are freestanding buildings. Some are part of communities that are much larger. Another term that people often use also for assisted living is the community-based residential facility. It's called a CBRF. So that's also another word that's interchangeable with assisted living.
Mark emailed, does ADRC fund the MindWorks group? I think that might be a memory care facility in the Fox Valley. You may not know.
I'm sorry. I don't know that one.
Is that typical that ADRC would fund a another group or organization perhaps like that, memory care?
Not typical, maybe through an NFCSP or AFCSP program that they're providing for a specific person. But we typically don't pay for assisted living. ADRCs do the enrollment into long-term care. And then once a person enrolls, we transfer them to the program that they choose. And then that program would fund services and develop a person's service plan.
Frank in Springbrook has a question for us. Let's go, or a comment. Let's go there. Hi, Frank.
Yeah, hi. I saw a documentary years ago, and it was from Denmark, and it's how they approach housing, especially for the elderly. And they have these housing units where they have very old people, elderly people. They have married people with children, maybe some single people. And they live in these apartment complexes, and they each have their own apartment, but they also live collectively. They have meals together, things like that. Do we have any equivalent to that here in Wisconsin or in the United States? Are anybody trying that kind of approach to addressing housing for elderly people?
So multi-generational housing So I guess you might say.
Yeah. So I can talk about in Dane County. You know, I am familiar with at least one, maybe two of those types of facilities here in Dane County that have multi-generational housing together. Some of them are, you know, where people own the house, some where people, you know, the an organization owns them and people go there to live. They're a little different. But that is a, yes, there are some of those. It's not, there's not a ton, but there are some.
Hmm. Frank, thank you. Michelle in Janesville. Hi.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
I have a question regarding assisted living for my handicapped sister. She is severely intellectually handicapped, and we've been having difficulties trying to find a place that will accept her because she requires too much care. We can't even find any day services that will accept her, and my elderly mom is currently taking care of her and is struggling. So I don't know, like, where to turn to from here. I know there has been talk about, you know, possibly then they're going to have to sedate her or move her out of state. Or so I'm just looking for some information on, like, where, who do I ask? Where do I turn to from here?
In Janesville, you do have an Aging and Disability Resource Center. There are also some regulations for people with intellectual disabilities and the and assisted livings. There's some bed limits on the size of facilities that they can move into for an assisted living. And then also, you know, like I said, an assisted living has a limited number of hours of nursing care that they by license can provide. So it may be, I don't know the care that your sister needs, but it may be that some of those things are in are into account, because ultimately when you do tour an assisted living, it's a two-way street on, you need to decide you want to live there, and the facility also needs to decide if they are able to meet your care needs. So just because you tour a facility and feel like that's a good facility for you doesn't necessarily mean that they will admit you, because they also have to, yes, make sure that they can meet your care needs. But I would encourage you to call your local ADRC in Janesville, because they can also talk to you about what needs the facilities can provide, and get more information about your specific situation with your sister.
So to find to find this proper location for Michelle or anybody else who's looking for their ADRC, what's the best approach? Can you go online and say ADRC Wisconsin and then type your county in or something and get the information?
Yep. And you can also type in findmyadrc.org. Wisconsin has that. Yes. And if you call 1-ADRC and they see that you live somewhere else, we can all transfer you to your local Aging and Disability Resource Center. Although we're based around the state, we will help people get to where they need to get to.
Let's take another call or a comment here. Lauren from Trempealeau County. Rural areas are lucky to have one facility, and they're filled with long waiting lists. She wants to know, well, she wants to know what's being done to close this gap in rural Wisconsin. Are there, you know, anything going on in the way of trying to get some legislation, or what's going on there that you know of?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I can't answer that. But I do know that, yes, there are limited facilities. Same even with nursing homes, that there's limited nursing home availability. And sometimes people end up having to live not in the community where they want to live because they need to go to where there is a facility that has openings.
Another question about the type of food. What type of food should residents in assisted living expect?
I think you should expect your healthy diet. And then, you know, some people need to follow a specific diet because of I'm a diabetic or I have heart disease. And so asking if they can meet those dietary restrictions, or maybe I'm a vegetarian. And do you have the staff available to make those meals? You know, also sometimes facilities have a kitchen on staff, and sometimes a facility, you know, might bring food in. So when you're touring and looking, you're also making your needs or what you're looking for known to them and asking them if they can meet those needs.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking back to my brother when we first, he loved the food at the facility that he was at. And when I would come to visit him, he passed away this last February, but when I would come to visit him, there, I would look on the, they had a chalk, kind of a whiteboard instead of a chalkboard, a whiteboard that always listed what the meals of the day were. And I'd always take a look at those. And they were always balanced meals. And they had a kitchen on, you know, there was a kitchen there with somebody to do the cooking on site. So it was a great, made me feel better.
Yes. And, you know, people still, you know, even in an assisted living, they still have choices and have great meals. They can, you know, have great activities. You know, social isolation and loneliness is also an issue for people. And in a facility, you're living, you know, with oftentimes many other people in an assisted living. It can be anywhere from 8 beds, six and over is considered a community-based residential facility, to, you know, 100 or hundreds, depending. So it's also, you know, a place where people can have great activities and things to do and the ability to see other people, where you know, sometimes people choose to move because they're isolated and they're lonely and they don't drive anymore. And this is a way to have more interaction and have activities.
Harry in Madison, we'll go to you next. Hi, Harry.
Hi there. I'm a certified financial planner, and I had a client in my office this morning, and we were talking exactly about this topic. But do you have recommendations? Because the clients that I'm referring to are, they're healthy. They can, you know, they don't need assisted living right now. They're completely independent. And is there facilities that have, you know, different tiers within their complex that say, okay, if you're totally fine, self-contained, you're over here. And then if you need help with meals, or if you need help, like, is there separate, you know, opportunities for people within the same facility, or
and
you, what's your recommendation there?
And your clients are in Dane County.
Yep. And so that's where one of those, you know, more assisted living communities are, are fit that kind of question and situation, because oftentimes they'll have apartments that people can move into that they live independently in the apartment. And then they may have a next level where they're living independently in an apartment, but they can get so many services a day. So maybe people can still be in their own apartment, but they want some help with their medication, or they want help with laundry and cleaning, so they can kind of get some a la carte services depending on their needs. And then as things with people progress, you know, those levels of care progress. So maybe then my next step is I'm moving from an apartment with services to an assisted living where they're making me three meals a day and they're doing my medications and I'm in a smaller room instead of an apartment, or and then, you know, they're helping me with dressing or bathing. So yes, there are those like continuum of care places. Those are actually, you know, especially in the Dane County area, getting more popular, and facilities are expanding to increase other levels. You know, some even have condos that they start out with. So there's lots of different options.
How would Harry or his clients find those facilities? I mean, is there a specific kind of name for them, or what?
They're like continuing care communities. You know, they could call the ADRC and we can give them a list of what's available, like what those facilities are and how to contact them. And to talk to them. Some places have you do what they call like a life lease. So you have to pay so much money initially to get into that continuum of care. But then you might get a portion of that back later on. Yeah, there's lots of different options for people out there.
You know, I got so enthralled with the conversation, I forgot to take a break, and we'll do that. Let's do it right now. And Jennifer, in our last, we've got another minute or so, minute and a half to go. What's your advice? I think I can already almost spit it out myself, but you guys, ADRCs, I keep getting the letters mixed around, the ADRCs are there to help, and people, no matter where you live in Wisconsin, right?
Yes, yeah. And we're here to give you information. We're not here to make decisions for you. We want to give you information so that you can take that information and make decisions on what fits your lifestyle and what you are looking for. And so that's why we're an unbiased place for information. So we want people to call us and to get that information and then make great decisions that fit their lifestyle.
Well, you're doing wonderful work, I can tell you that. And as are the ADRCs around the state of Wisconsin, thanks for representing all of them today. Jennifer, you were great, and I hope we can do this again. There's certainly questions I didn't get to yet today on the show. Thank you.
Yes, definitely. Thank you.
Jennifer Fisher is manager of the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Dane County and has been in that since it opened in 2012. She does a great job. And thank you very much, Jennifer. And thank you for listening today. Big team effort. Clara Neipert and Joel Patnaud, Jeff Robbins, Lee Rayburn with us as part of our team. And, of course, our executive producer, Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. And thank you again for listening, and stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.